should remember our brother, Mark. His voice is just about gone, and I don't know, does he still plan to go to Peru? Is that his plan? Okay, we pray for him because unless things improve, he's going to be limited, I think, in what he wants to do. So, Colossians chapter 1, I thought we would look at some things concerning prayer. Paul's thanksgiving for what he had heard of these saints at Colossae, their faith, their love, their hope. I'm going to read the first 14 verses, and we'll have some comments about praying for others, being exercised of heart, and what we pray for them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And so for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We gather to pray for others that come to mind. We think primarily of those that are a part of the Fellowship of Believers here at Northgate Chapel, but it encompasses others that we hear of. We're not limited as to who we can pray for. But sometimes we need to consider what kind of things should we ask when we intercede for others. We're going to pray for their success in life, perhaps in their business, in their careers, and things of that nature. A lot of that is very important, and I'm not saying it doesn't deserve prayer. We pray for all things. We wouldn't limit a moment the value of prayer for that headache you had today, and I want prayer that the headache might be taken care of. Well, we need to sometimes take into account how much of the things that we pray for are just perhaps material things. I was thinking about just this afternoon, you take what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the only material thing that's mentioned in that Lord's Prayer. It does seem that sometimes we think more about the material than we do about the spiritual. And, of course, that's a grave mistake. In the sight of God, He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when you have that in mind, to have some spiritual vision, to possess some understanding of the things of God, the greatness, the power of God, which is some of the things that we touch on in this passage. So, Paul lifts his prayer to a higher level, a different dimension. He's praying for these saints at Colossae. He says, since the day we heard. He'd never been there to Colossae, but he's heard about them, and he had followed their development. We do not cease to pray for you. And so often, I think most of us have periods of times we get to praying and we find out that it's so rewarding to pray. And when you are in the Spirit and pray, to have those prayers answered, to know that God has heard your cries and answered your prayers, it'll do something for you. It will cause you to put a different value upon prayer. So, praying is something that every one of us should attach a lot of significance to. Crying out to the Lord. The psalmist constantly mentions crying out to the Lord for help. As someone has said, when I need help, I know where to go to get help. And we don't go to anything, any place, any higher than heaven itself and to the throne of grace. I want us to think primarily of Paul's focus upon things that he considered to be very important. And I don't want you to get the impression that I don't think it's important to pray for every sick person that we pray for physically. It is important. If I get sick and hurting, I want you to pray for me. Take away the pain. Lift me up. All of us have that feeling. But there's another dimension, which is a spiritual dimension, that you and I know more attention could be devoted to that side of prayer than sometimes we give it. Our prayer requests sometimes. It's just a long list of things that people need and want. And there's physical needs, there's trial, there's tribulation, and so forth. But again, when Paul says that my prayer for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, let me tell you, that's dynamite. That's reaching into a new dimension that we don't hear much about. How many times have you heard somebody in a prayer meeting say, May we be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That means that we're going to have to do some studying. We're going to have to do some reading, some meditation upon the Word of God. It means that indeed if I increase in knowledge of Him, it will take some effort. It seems sometimes that we are too satisfied with what we know. As someone says, I don't feel any peer pressure among those that I fellowship with. I think I can hold my own with any of them as far as what I know about Scripture. Well, is that all you're satisfied with? Are you just measuring what they know? Is that the limits on what you want to know? The Apostle Paul is crying out that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. Another dimension, spiritual understanding. There's a lot of value in understanding what you read in Scripture. You know, Philip asked that Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? There are many people that read the Word of God and they say, I don't understand that. What is that? What are they talking about? Well, you know, the Spirit of God is the one that enlightens. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another teacher. He will teach you all things concerning me. You want to know about me? It'll come through the power of the Spirit of God. And as we read the Scriptures and as we grow spiritually in grace and knowledge, knowledge, wisdom is something of great value. How much do we know about Him? How much do we know about Him? Right now, as we think about Him, from the very inception when He came into the world, knowing that that was not the beginning of the Son of God, the plans and purposes had already been laid for the God's plan that He had set in place to redeem the whole of mankind. He's going to provide a means whereby He could be satisfied with one sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. He is God. He always was God. God became a man. And He dwelt among us. That's a glorious mystery and a glorious blessing just to think about it. He came down. He came down to meet our need. He met us on our own level. He communicated with us in a way that we have never been communicated with before. The way God does business is so different from the ways of mankind. Well, God, as it is revealed in the Word of God, wants us to develop in our own dealings with each other those same means and ways that He deals with us individually. He does impart to us wisdom and understanding in those areas. So that means spiritual vision, knowing something. Not always dependent upon somebody else telling us, but I know that. How did you get it? I gained that knowledge through studying the Scriptures. I didn't have to have someone, the minute someone mentioned it, I already knew what they were talking about. You know, that's a big leap forward. Well, how often does that happen? Or do we find ourselves sometimes struggling? A preacher does a good job and he takes and he reads the Word of God and he preaches the Word of God to us. And we say, I still didn't understand what he meant. I didn't get all that he meant. Well, I'll use this little thing that I heard a long time ago. I didn't get it. It's above my head. And this brother at a Bible conference said, "Oh no, it was under your feet." It meaning that you've never tried to develop a real understanding, becoming truly knowledgeable of spiritual things. You don't have a grasp of it because you haven't tried. You haven't put forth any effort. You haven't allowed the Spirit of God that is empowering each one of us, as the Lord Jesus Christ has announced and given to us, He will be our comforter. He will be our teacher. He can teach us anything. The Spirit of God can teach us anything that's in this book if we let Him. If we want to understand these things. Well, Paul's praying that these saints at Colossae will get a grasp of that and they'll go after some knowledge and wisdom of God. That's a high calling, brother and sister. To know more about Him. I want to know Him. I think just last week we were hearing that. I want to know Him. Wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk. You know, walk carries us into that dimension of our lifestyle. What people see and know about us as they observe us in the course of everyday living. How we're walking. He says, walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy of. Is what I'm doing today worthy of what He has done for me? Do I act like I appreciate it? Do you get the impression that I really do appreciate what God has done for me? Do I really appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God indwells and empowers me to be a lot more than I really am? But He can make me something that is for the glory of God. That's my walk. That's what people are seeing. Some people will say, that man, that woman, they're different. They're different. He's a spiritual man. He's a spiritual woman. He has depth about him and an understanding of the things of God that you don't see in many believers. It's that shallowness that's at walk through life that doesn't really impress anybody as to what God can really do in our lives to be worthy of. To be worthy of. Think about what He's done for us. Think about the price that was paid. How much effort do we put forward? How much time do we spend in an endeavor to measure up and be worthy of what He has done for us? Paul says that's all important. A man that says, for me to live is Christ, I believe he wants to be living a life that is worthy, indeed, of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. Fruitful in every good work. You know you don't work for salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. The world has that concept. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to adopt all of the things that people do to try to have some understanding, at least, of knowing God. I'm going to join some local church. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to work. I'm going to do whatever I can do. Well, you don't get there that way. You don't get salvation that way. But whatever God puts your hand to do, it's up to us to respond and do it, and do it the very best we can. Being fruitful. We're empowered. We're not lacking in power. to carry out and do the work of God, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, it's something about being involved in a spiritual work for God that I think it expands your knowledge and wisdom of what God is all about. Well, He does like to see that effort that we put forward. He likes to see it blessed, and He can bless it. And He can give us that confirmation in our own hearts and souls. What I'm doing is for the glory of God. He can do that. It's Him doing that through us who have a desire to increase in the knowledge of Him. Where does all this strength and power come from? It's the wonder of the Christian life. People sometimes think we're a little bit nutty, and these things that we call spiritual things, that's a little too vague for them, because they don't understand the things of God. But certainly in our efforts to serve the Lord, we know that the key to all of it is the glorious power of God being exercised through us according to His glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. It is a part of the Christian experience to experience the power of God, to be aware of the Spirit of God working in what we endeavor to do for Him. That's the key. That's the thing that sometimes mystifies people about what we do and why we're so devoted to doing it. Why do you keep on? Well, whether you like what you see or whether you think it has any meaning to you, to God it means a whole lot. The things of this world, because the people of the world are, as we're reminded at the close of this section, they're living in the kingdom of darkness. We have come out of the darkness into the light. Our lifestyle, what we do, what the Spirit of God accomplishes through you and me, responding in knowledge and wisdom of the will of God, the world doesn't understand that. But thank God we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. We're not walking in darkness. We're not living in the darkness. The Word of God would tell us, be not conformed to the ways of this world. This world is dominated today by spiritual darkness. And it's frightening. The things that are happening, the things that are just glossed over. And all the while, it doesn't get any better, it's getting worse. And Paul says in Timothy, these are perilous times in which we're living. And God's people need to take very, very seriously what we're doing and doing for God, because most of us, I believe, in our minds think that the time is short. I believe most of us believe that the Lord is coming very soon. If we're going to do anything for God, we better do it now, down here. If we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to let Him do anything through us, we better let Him do it. Any lifestyle that we have that doesn't include letting God work in and through us, we ought to give it up. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You hear it all the time. You hear believers say, the world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Well, we are citizens of heaven. Scripture tells us that. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords. enthroned in power, the one that will indeed come again and receive us unto himself. He has conquered all. They thought they did away with him upon the cross. Greatest victory that has ever been accomplished for God was accomplished on the cross. The Son of God died under the penalty of our sin and won us out of the slave market of sin and brought us into the kingdom of God. And we should desire with all our hearts to be more and more like him. We're out of the kingdom of darkness. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed back. You know something about that. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I don't know if you ever think about it or not, but it's worth thinking about. Do you ever just come out and say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you took away the penalty of my sin. My sin, if I paid the penalty for it, I was going to be separated from you forever. I was going to be cast into the lake of fire if I continued to live that life that I lived without Christ. But I accepted the gift that you offered. The precious blood of the Son of God, he died under the penalty of my sin. And you know, Lord, right now, I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. You ever say that? You ever think about that? It doesn't hurt to tell him that. I think the Lord likes to hear us be very personal with him. And the things that we appreciate. When are you going to tell him about it? When you get home to glory? You can tell it about it. You can tell him about it right now. Tell him about it tonight in this prayer meeting. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. And thank you for making me whole. The little course says that, doesn't it? And it's important. And the Apostle Paul is praying for these believers at Colossae. And tonight we're gathered to pray for those people that we have on our prayer list. There are all kind of needs. Thank God that we're able to assemble together this many people that are interested in prayer. Usually as we close this, Mark and our brother Earl White say, thank you for coming to the prayer meeting. Well, I do thank you for coming to the prayer meeting, and I'm thanking God for every one of you that you're still exercised to come aside and to pray. Lift our voices up to the Lord. Our knowledge of Him, let it be more and more according to His worthiness to receive all that we have in the way of praise and worship. We have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful opportunity. We're only going to pass this way one time. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you better do it now. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight that we're assembled here to pray. We're assembled here to call out to thee, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us help. There are burdens upon our hearts. We know some that are suffering. We know some that indeed need a spiritual awakening in their souls. We know some that have never done any growing spiritually. And we pray for them and we pray for ourselves. The blessing was for all the saints. And we would pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts tonight and you'll make our time together a real blessing. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen.